a recurring matter from 2011. Commitments have continuously just been a difficulty for the department to resolve, to the extent that the department did not have adequate systems in place to maintain records of the regional park infrastructure project. And quite a number of root causes have been identified in that regard, but I would like the DG to give us their own understanding as to why the department does not have these adequate systems in place, because this has been now a recurring matter for a very long time, and we need to bring it to a finality. So I just a brief explanation as to why do we find our situation when this matter has been raised over and over again.
Thank you very much, Chair. And let me concur with the member. My understanding that I am accepting the department's board and all, warts and all, as they say, or footstools, as the minister and I say. So I'm very much aware of the fact that the responsibility for past financial years fall to me, at least to rectify it. With regards to the outreach program, it started in 2007. Now, Chair and members, you'll appreciate that for a program like this and the magnitude of this kind of program, you require dedicated capacity resources. But before that, you need to work out the methodology that you will employ to manage the fund, to ensure that there are specific control measures in place, that the control environment is intact, so that you are able to account for the allocated resources as well as for the expenditure against the fund. For the past years, the department has not had those control systems in place, has not put the requisite capacity in place, or the methodology and mechanisms to control the fund. I believe that is why the Auditor General has found, that has brought out this finding. And this in particular led to the qualification, or one of the paragraphs that led to the qualification of the department. So if I may, in terms of going forward then, what does that mean for the department, for ARBIC in particular, around the statement for its commitments under the ARBIC program? And what remedies have we put in place? What we've done is that we now, because the ARBIC program is run via the regional offices, and I'm going to ask CFO of main account to also add to what I'm saying. We've now put in place a specific system of recording all ARBIC transactions at a regional office level. We've developed a process flow to mitigate the issue of the lack of a methodology and a particular accounting treatment for ARBIC transactions, because that's also what the AG found. That we are unable to indicate what will be the specific accounting treatment for ARBIC transactions. And we've now put that in place, and we have workshopped all personnel at regional office level to ensure that there is a chance and understanding, first and foremost, of that accounting practice, and that we are now capacitated then at that level. What we've also done is that we have put in place a clearinghouse at head office. So all transactions must be deposited at head office with the CFO for main account, and they will ensure that all of those commitments are captured. But there is also the issue of the historical data that has never been in place. And we have also done, for the last 12 months, our action plan has spoken strongly around the reconciliation, around the commitments for ARBIC. That, in a nutshell, is the remedy that's put in place. But let me ask if he has also main account. Is that fine? Okay. Thank you, Chair.
The CFO, what's the current CFO, the CFO then? Right. Now, the findings of the AG, the Auditor General, says that there was inadequate intervention by the CFO. So the question for me then goes to the issue of the DG speak about capacity. Whether there is adequate capacity in the office of the CFO, who has been identified as the root cause for failure to, or rather for inadequate interventions in that regard. Because in the absence of contrary content, because for me, anything which falls in the category of inadequate for my line function is dereliction of duty. So has there been interventions to ensure that there is adequate capacity in the office of the CFO so that we do not find ourselves having to identify the CFO's office and the CFO of having instituted inadequate measures for a recurring matter? It's not new. So what more than the scope and the portfolio committee expected to say when they've just been ignored, quite frankly? I appreciate the efforts that the DG has outlined, and we will zoom into those when we deliberate, but we must go to root cause, otherwise matters occur, and one of them is the CFO. Instead, it's coupled with poor record keeping, which we've identified. So how does a massive project such as this one find itself in such a situation? Adequate interventions on one side and to poor record keep on the other side. So the issue of controversy.
Okay, to speak to the issue of consequences, but I believe that the CFO must comment with regards to the capacity. But consequences with regards to the CFO herself, I have initiated a process of progressive discipline with regards to the matter. In particular, when I joined the department in September of 2014, one of the first things I did was to meet with the AG's office and to get a sense of the action plan that was put in place that is required by the department to mitigate the findings of the Auditor General and the adverse finding of a qualification. At that meeting, in the presence of the both CFOs, there was an indication already that the AG's office was not satisfied with the interventions. Hence my interventions to ensure that I deal with, as the member indicates, the root causes. I had several discussions with the CFO around her inadequate controls and also the lack of impetus and push around the action plan. So it is a progressive discipline. I have indicated strongly, I put specific time frames in place, especially around the issue of commitments chain record.
What are the time frames?
I have indicated to the CFO in September that she has 6 months in which to indicate that she has the ability to deal with these matters. So I've also had discussions with the executive authority on the matter, and the executive authority has concurred with regards to the progressive discipline effect.
Is that September 2014?
2014.
6 months has left to receive the report.
Yes, but I am busy with the report chain around the matter.
The end of May, so you have had the report for 2 months. September, I was counting with my fingers, October, November, December, January, February, March, that's six. So April, May, that's 2 months. I know it's fine. I mean, it's almost the end of the second month, that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying you've had the report now for 2 months.
I'm preparing the report, yes. That I will share with the executive authority.
No, that's fine. Let's note it down. Let's allow Senwa to finish his part so Comrade can come with follow-up.
I would like to just deal with this before the minister goes. I know that she said she's here to observe, but since she's here, The DG of the department was suspended in February 2013, and then acting DG was appointed, and then now there's a full-time DG appointed. There was an investigation pending on the suspended DG. It would please be taken through as to how that process unfolded, so that when the minister goes around, Kulit Kabaza.
Thank you very much. Okay. The suspension of the DG led to 8 disciplinary processes that ensued, and in the midst of that, there were charges and countercharges between the executive authority and the then DG. Upon us coming in post the elections, we prioritized that matter because one of the challenges of that department is that it has not had overtime, it has not had stability when it comes to an accounting office. In fact, the acting DG has been the longest serving DG acting, and appointed DGs have served less of the time compared to appointed DGs. And we had to deal with the crux of the matter. Already there was work that was done by the Department of Public Service and Administration, as well as the Office of the Auditor General. I then familiarized myself with the processes in the department. On the basis of what was before me, we then opted not to continue with the disciplinary processes against the former DG. We lifted the suspension, we entered into a negotiation with him, and given the fact that the relationships were very strained within the department, was everything that happened around him also implicated members of the senior managers of the department who were also part of the subject itself. We entered into an agreement where now he had actually accepted to be placed in another responsibility which we had actually done. And the issues related to what the Auditor General and the Public Service Commission had picked up, we are actually dealing with them. It was the contestation around a contract which the AG has an opinion on. And these are some of the things that we are really dealing with. Amongst others, we deal with consequence management, deal with inefficiencies of our procurement processes, but also looking at the magnitude of the damage. Our intention is to go beyond just settling the matter and moving on, because it is recorded as part of the report that comes through the Auditor General to ourselves. So he's back at work, and we have also looked at the issues that had to do with the main contestation between the executive authority and the DG. And we are of the view that we have accepted the report and the findings that come from the Auditor General, and we are acting on that.
I'd like to move to the issue of accruals in page 188 of the annual report, where it stated that the system or controls to maintain records of goods and services received but not yet paid for at the end of the financial year relating to outbreak was inadequate, and there was no satisfactory all procedures that I could perform to obtain reasonable assurance that all outstanding invoices for outbreak have been included in accruals. Consequently, I was unable to determine whether any further adjustment to accruals stated at 1 billion rand in note 23 to the financial statements was necessary. And on the particular one, DG, the root cause as identified by the Auditor General is an adequate intervention by the CFO. And the vacancy in the chief director for SVM was not filled only up until the end of that year. There was inadequate checks and balances in the department and inadequate review and monitoring to ensure that all outbreak accruals were recorded, and finally there was poor record keeping. So it goes again to the issue of consequences. You can't have an office which is just constantly and persistently a root cause of a recurring problem. So I would just now, DG, want to find out what interventions are now in place to address that particular issue, because even accruals are a recurring matter.
Okay.
in that regard.
Thank you very much.
In the previous year before this one, accruals were around 300 million. Now, I had him read a figure of 1 billion. Fine, you can continue. I just wanted to put further context.
Thank you. Let me just make a small correction. Having just a discussion with the CFO. I came in September, but the discussion with the CFO didn't happen in September. So the 6 months had not left. She was just reminding me that that conversation didn't happen immediately in September. She indicated to me, I stand to be corrected, Chair, that we had the discussion early in January. So just so that you know that my report is still pending to the Executive Authority. But let me address the issue of accrual. It is related with regards to the issue of bad or inadequate record keeping. The misstatement in terms of the commitments had a knock-on effect in terms of the inability to then accurately account for issues around accrual. So the intervention, as I expressed it in the earlier question around commitments, are the same interventions that will have, I'm optimistic, Chair, will have the impact of dealing with the misstatements around accruals as well. And as I indicated to you, it's around the setting of specific accounting standards for dealing with the Arabic transactions. Thank you very much.
Chair, on the presentation of the CFO, can we get a very official response? Because the DG says she has to be corrected, she gets the date from the CFO, so the touring and foreign makes me a bit uneasy in terms of now what is actually what. If the DG was adamant that she spoke in September and we can't check the month, and in her opinion she was finalizing the report because the 6 months had left. So which report was she finalizing if it was still within the 6 months duration?
Chair, when it comes to progressive discipline, the issue is to have month-on-month reports in terms of how the person has done that. So I'm busy with the report. That's what I was indicating. But the final report goes to the Executive Authority at the end of the 6 months, after my discussion with the CFO in terms of whether she has, in fact, been able to rectify the situation or not. I did say that when I came in September, I had a discussion with the AG's office around, and that was my stand to be correct, that it was an error. I subsequently had a discussion with the CFO. So it's not a to and fro. It was just clarification so that you don't expect the report.
No, this is correct. You said September, and she said January. Now, if it was September, the implication is that by now the 6 months has passed, and when you say you're compiling a report, the impression we got was that you are now doing your assessment after the 6 months. Now, if it's January, it means the 6 months is not elapsed. Even if you're doing it on a month-to-month basis, you're waiting for the 6 months to elapse so that you can now come with a firm and conclusive assessment. I think that's a substantive difference. But I want to say, Comrade, if you don't mind, whether it was January or September, it's neither here nor there. As long as there's a process, it's fine.
I'm comfortable with that. You covered me well. I was just passing by there for clarity purposes. So I'm also on page 188, and I think this is the biggest issue, actually, the immovable tangible assets in the department. Did not have adequate systems in place to maintain records and of additions to buildings and other fixed structures for the current and prior years. Sufficient appropriate evidence to confirm that management had properly accounted for the additions to buildings and other structures for the current and prior years could not be obtained due to the features of the accounting records. And Chair, I don't want to harp on the same thing. Root cause, inadequate intervention by the CEO. Poor record keeping and lack of review and monitoring. Now, the issue of these assets, where are we with them? Because obviously there's a big problem here because they are constantly recurring. Since 2009, 10, and every there has been a matter, there has been an issue for the past 5 years. And you have come to SCOPA on for three occasions when SCOPA has addressed these and given you resolutions and made recommendations. But it just seems as if this is a stumbling block on an epic scale, this issue of these assets. So just if you could kindly clarify us in terms of where we are and what processes are in place, and when will people be disciplined for just failing to do the things that they're supposed to do? Might not be the CFO because he doesn't work alone, but it can't be business as usual when the matter is recurring for 5 years. That for me is just an indictment on the systems in place to say that they are inadequate on so many levels. So we need clarity on this, because by the look of things as it stands, the clear waters are very muddy. So we need to move from this, and it can't be constantly there. So how do we sort this particular one out? Couple that with consequences. Because if we don't, then yes, we talk about our people just going to lie the same old if matters that are constantly recurring are not addressed. You need to make an example out of somebody somewhere to say, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, I mean, for 5 years, these matters are recurring. So, did you please clarify us on that particular one? And I would appreciate that maybe here in details, because this is one of the major issues in the department.
But I'm just seeing a pattern. It might be a different issue, but the root causes might still be the same. So you might be peeping from this window and that way, but it will still bring you to the same view. I don't know, maybe let me give to the teacher. Maybe I'm just getting exasperated, because if you go to the SCOPA resolution on 133, you'll find that the figures for the previous year before the one we're reporting on were lower, and now they're just going up. So I don't know, but maybe let me give to the DG. I was just saying that's what is coming through. You have figures inadequacy.
Thank you, Chair. No, you are right. These issues with regards to the immovable tangible capital assets is with regards to reference to the regional bulk infrastructure grant. It's not the immovable tangible assets of the entire department. And it again, I understand this exasperation. It arises out of the issue of not having proper record keeping or accounting standards in place for ARC. What we've now done with regards to the assets, and let me indicate how the matter around the assets arise. Once a project has been completed, what the department has not done, because these assets are completed for municipalities, there has been a lapse in the transfer of those assets, because it must be formally accepted by the accounting officer of the specific local municipality. So that process has not been intact. So the effort will be sitting between the department and the municipality. And that has led, again, to the misstatement around the value of those. It speaks just very simply that this particular grant has not been managed appropriately. I can only speak myself, as opposed to the process flow, as opposed to the methodology, as opposed to the accounting standard has not been set. We have now moved to ensure that that happens, and the consequences of course, is tied back to my discussions with the CFO around performance around the matter. We have also moved to ensure that I can go a little bit into the detail to undertake an audit of all of the assets that were completed and that have not been transferred, and started issuing letters to the specific accounting officers to request them to receive the asset into their asset register so that we are then able to sign off on it. And that process has been unfolding as well. Chair, I must hasten to say that the response from the accounting officers has not been as well as we had hoped for, so the discussion is ongoing to ensure that our asset register is cleaned up and that we are able then to remove it from our asset database. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Chair. For the sake of progress, can we move on to the issue of the predetermined objectives? Because Treasury Regulation 524 requires that the annual performance requires that to form the basis of the annual report, therefore requiring consistency of objectives, indicators and targets and between planning and reporting. A total of 25% of the reported indicators and targets are not consistent with those that were approved in the annual performance plan. So I would just there's quite a long list in fact of these changes. I was saying that Treasury regulations are clear in terms of how APPs come about and so on. Now, there were changes. A total of 25% of the reported indicators and targets are not consistent with those that were approved. Can you give an explanation as to why there are deviations, especially deviations that fall outside the parameters of regulations, predetermined objectives?
I think maybe just to check if subsequent to this findings of the Auditor General on the NPU, just to check why this deviation happened. I'm taking into account the fact that you were not there immediately to answer the rationale behind certain decisions. Unless you have done a review, my difficult to say so. But understanding that we deal with what kills the patient. That's our job. For the Portfolio Committee to deal with what are doing going forward. So we're moving forward looking backwards. I think that's the question. With these situations, what happened?
A simple answer, Chief. The branch heads changed unilaterally the target that was set in the APP for reasons that they did not understand, as incredible as this sounds, the regulation that says once an APP has been approved by the executive authority, you are only allowed to change it once in the financial year upon the executive authority's signature, and that's in the adjustment of probation process. They did not understand those processes. This is what they said, because I also asked the question, and they unilaterally changed the target. That is the long and short of it.
Thank you.
So, Chair, the patient was killed by a lack of understanding by responsible persons. Consequences? When they took their own executive unilateral decision, and it has been identified that they were wrong in their interpretation, which is the failure to understand. I wouldn't want to say misunderstanding, because that would be euphemistic. A failure to understand consequences. What happens after that?
Thank you, Chair. I've issued verbal warnings to all branch heads that, well, I can tell you what I put in place. I've locked the APC for this year, so nobody is allowed to change the target. You are allowed to lock the grid, if I can put it like that, where there are targets fitting in that APP there's a grid, and that's where the deviation is. So that has been locked. And, of course, I issued a verbal warning to all branches with regards to the transgression.
So, it's a verbal warning. Okay. But the issue, the rub of the issue is that they remain in their positions with their failure to understand. Locking the system doesn't address their failure to understand. So the issue then goes, one, are they competent to be holding those positions, and are they being capacitated properly? Because the interventions are reactive. With the proactive, to say, all right, we've got people here who don't understand. So how do we assist them in the midst of the verbal warning, as nice as possible?
To deal with the issue of capacity. In the verbal warning, of course, I have to indicate what the transgression is and why the transgression is there. So I have to explain the regulation around the APP and performance target setting and why it's not allowed to change the target setting. So in terms of the explanation and the capacity, I have personally workshopped it around the APP and around performance and program planning. So that part has happened. And I'll allow
you... So you had workshop with them?
Yes, I workshopped them. Yes, sure.
When did that happen?
I can't remember the exact date, but when it was brought to my attention. And the workshop is constantly, not a workshop. I said I workshopped them. So in my top management, there's a constant discussion around APPs, and the performance around the APP is done on a month basis. So it's reinforced all the time. And the minister wanted to make a comment.
Thank you, Chair. In my earlier comments, I indicated that we are also interacting with the Public Service Commission on the capacity of the department. And amongst other things that we are looking at is the competency and the appointment of the senior management of the department. And one of the things that we have done with the Public Service Commission is to then agree that upon the completion of the work that we are currently doing of this annual report interrogation together with the AG and the Public Service Commission, we will then be making a determination on the capacity of the department, also giving the advantage that we now have a new Department of Water and Sanitation. And some of the issues go beyond the issue of the administration, but just the ability of the home bodies. And that's the kind of bold issue that we will be pronouncing not later than the... We have agreed that by July, the Public Service Commission will give me a their recommendation. Yes.
Almost rounding up for colleagues, and just one or two things then I'm here. Could you please take us through the state of health of internal audit in the department? But before you answer that, just how many people are you talking about with these people that have received warnings, verbal warnings? How many people are we talking about there? And then the state of health of internal audit in the department. And
Chair, with regards to the verbal warning, it was to all branch heads, so all DDGs received the verbal warning.
How many are
there? There are 8 of them.
The DDGs who don't understand the simple legal provisions. But no, it's fine. Let's continue. I think the minister in part covered the issue around looking at the home bodies and what they're capable of. Maybe let's move to the next question on the internal audit function.
Uh, Jay, I wonder if I could ask the CFO to speak to the issue of the internal audit. Main account here.
But what's your general impression?
My general impression is that it's functioning reasonably well. We work closely with the audit chair, our finance and audit committee. Members, as you know, are excellently appointed. Our internal audit plan is in place.
Let's go to the CFO. In the meantime, if you have the annual report, look at the report of the audit committee on page 185. First paragraph on the effectiveness of internal control. CFO.
Thank you, Chair. In relation to the internal audit functioning, it is functioning well, but
can't function well.
Okay. Okay,
sure. Otherwise, all these other things we're talking about, commitments, accruals, this, that, this, that,
okay,
will
sure.
not help. And the paragraph I said the DG issue on page 185 says the exact opposite of that opening line.
So I apologize for that opening.
That's fine.
Chair, the result of the discrepancies that could be found in the report is mainly on the issue of the capacity. I think the member has also earlier on indicated and asked whether the office of the CFO adequately capacitated with the right officials and also the right number of the capacity to deal with the issues. Same applies to the internal audit. The internal audit of the department is dealing with the two units, which is the department as whole as well as the water trading entity. And they then divide themselves in terms of sharing the responsibility to manage the entire scope of the department for both the department and the entity. It has recently been
No, that's fine, but that does not talk to the effectiveness. I mean, fine, they divide themselves like we have two groups in the committee. Each has group one, each has group two. And we share the task effectiveness. Please. Of internal audit. How is it? What would be the assessment after all this subdivision and giving of tasks and responsibilities? Are they effective? I think that's the number of this question.
Chair, in terms of the results, it is less effective as desired as it should be.
All right,
that's fine. I wish to refer you to page 186, where the audit committee says, the committee notes with concern the prolonged period for filling the internal audit vacancies, which results in non-achievement of the audit plan as approved by the audit committee. Page 186.
Yeah. I'm on 186, but which paragraph?
Paragraph 2. Internal auditing, paragraph 2. The two lines.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
all
that's
right.
What I'm talking.
Okay, no, it's fine. I see it now.
So, in that, the state of health then just fundamentally on that particular aspect. So, and it remains a concern. So, have vacancies been filled?
In terms of the vacancies, currently the internal audit has 10 vacant posts that needs to be filled.
I thought the special question would be why the audit committee is saying there are vacancies that are not filled for a long period of time. Why are they not filled?
What's the vacancy rate in the internal audit? And why are they not being filled? Prolonged. It's the continuous recurring. It's year on year. And the 10 vacancies. Such messes. Yeah. 10 vacancies in internal audit. 10. it speaks exactly to the issue of why we have these recurring matters. The audit committee says it's prolonged, and I'm now inclined to believe them when the CFO says there have been 10 vacancies. Why?
Chair, what I can say is, look, it may not be the answer that is that you're going to like, but if there's a new department that is brought into being, as is in this case, there also needs to be a review in terms of whether the department is structured correctly. What is done is to identify that even if you fill lower-level positions without adequate management and leadership, it's not going to have the desired effect. What we've now done in consultation with the DPSA and with concurrence by the Public Service Commission and the Executive Authority is to establish two new positions, senior positions. One is the activation of what was always there as a deputy CFO position. That person will take the responsibility around ensuring that, together with the two CFOs, that there's dedicated capacity to deal with the findings of the CFO of the Auditor General. And then also to drive the function of internal audit. We also just appointed a chief director for risk. And we believe that with that capacity, once they are settled in, we will then be able to move with greater speed in filling the vacant positions, so that we're able to provide the internal audit function for both, or rather for both water and for sanitation.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I think that doesn't talk to the issue. The paragraph on page 186 was a review of the period April 2018 to end of March 2014. That's what it's reviewing. So this person was, for that entire period of 12 months, there were vacancies in the internal audit that had not been filled. And the problems that we have had, and the problems that we have had around capacity, I think, like I said, if you come to say, when you go to page 185, and you read the paragraph on the effectiveness of internal control by the audit committee, it's far worse than the one you are reading on page 186. So,
I'm rounding up now. I want to say, the body committee says, we have reviewed the annual financial statements prepared by the department for submission to the AG for audit purposes. However, the audited financial statements were not presented to the committee for review. So is ABOL even taking this committee, which is making these damning findings, seriously? Because they obviously have quite a number of issues that they want to raise. But they are being treated as if they are in the back room, you know, outside, renting, not in the main house, but we must stand it. And nobody is taking them seriously. If you cannot present the financial statements review to the audit committee before you go to the OSA General. And then they have raised quite a number of issues here which really need the attention of the department. So, I accept in part maybe that you are restructuring, that may be on the surface of it a fair response, but that's the tip of the iceberg. The bigger problem in it is that even that process of review finds itself having to be carried out, must be carried out very speedily, because there are continuous problems that have been raised by internal audit. It can't be a matter of saying waiting for people to settle in when the problem is has been sitting there for a long time, and it's coming from your own internal, from your own audit committees. So we can turn vacancies, and there's a void in skills. You've got 8 DDs that were to give verbal warnings because they simply could not follow through simple processes and regulations. Now, this just, the units like we had in years, it just keeps bloating the problem. And the crux of it is that the basic things that should be done are not being done. The Minister of Cooperative Governance is speaking about back to basics, with a major emphasis on municipalities. Quite frankly, I think that spirit of back to basics must be inculcated even at national departments and provincial departments. But this is why we find ourselves in the problem. So the committee can't be raising issues and they are not being taken, you know, on board in a satisfactory manner. That can't be acceptable. Anyway, Chair, I think I'll leave the rest to other matters. I'm sure colleagues, if they could just raise as well the issue of the ICT as well, because that remains a problem within the department. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
All right, comrades. You know, in the house, I'm a backbencher. It's right at the back. So I struggle to sometimes see all comrades in the house. I'm not sure whether the gentleman at the back is an official or is a member of parliament.
Chairperson,
you're an official. From which department?
Water and sanitation.
Water and sanitation. Well, okay, it's fine. I'm not sure because we've called the DG and he has come with his people. So if she has brought you and there are stuff that you can explain better, I'm sure she will ask us to give the opportunity to talk to the issues. Otherwise, we want the scene here of officials coming to present conflicting reports. All right. Yeah. Okay. No, that's fine. No, it is fine. I think he's doing well because it magnifies the challenge, the reflection of the state of the department. And it might as well be that he has some very valuable information to give. But maybe let me start with comrades. Don't exhaust your energy. You have brief and to the point.
Yeah. Now I thought the DG, the accounting officer, it's you. The last time we had an interaction, you gave us the same statement that you're going to see the auditor general and you and all those things. And you're repeating it again today. It has talked a lot. Yes. You see, the one thing that the department has a commitment since 2013, it has a visible statement on how it deals with fraud. And second to that now, I see that you also have a management team that deals with financial issues. So you have got two people here. But in your comments here today, I don't hear you refer to all that. You see, it doesn't reflect. As you create these structures, you now see this. Yes, sir. Do you want me to show you a page? I'm quite willing to take you to the page. It's supposed to give you your capacity. Your first, if you go to 128 on governance, it deals, and 129 deals with fraud and corruption, the posters that you've worked out there. I don't hear you talking to me. If you go to page 185 on the report of audit committee, it says the committee noted that the management has established a financial misconduct committee. That's you. Now you see, first and foremost, you say you are dealing with the public service commission. Now you talk about progressive disciplinary, and you talk about verbatim. You see, I can understand why the auditor is concerned. But if you don't follow the law, you have got your own creations. as an accounting officer in terms of the EFMA, you mean that taking responsibility yourself. You can't transfer responsibilities. You're the one. And if you don't follow the law, for Zemba, he doesn't have a law. Progressiveness doesn't have, you're not even telling us which act are you using to maintain this progressive discipline. And the PM and the Public Service Commission have got guidance and rules. Can you tell me which rule are you using to arrive at decision in how you are handling this matter? I'm reminding you, in 2013 they have a fraud and corruption commitment that was made publicly, and it's here. And you're not talking to that at all. So I'm saying that as a new DG, you are creating your own models parallel to all other systems that have been created.
Okay. DG, just note them. This time around, we'll take a couple, and you can start to come with one.
Thank you, Chetan. DG, when we go to page 257, there's transfers and subsidies. When you look at this transfer and subsidies, you find that you...
The page 250?
257.
257.
You find that departmental agencies and accounts receive the highest allocation of 2.4 billion, followed by provinces and municipalities. Which it doesn't make sense. It's a kind of an overspending on the part of the department. We would like to find out what were the reasons which pushed the department to overspend in such manner as raised by the AG.
You think 257?
Yes.
I'm trying to look at that. Which figures are you talking to so that I should also follow?
The problem is that we are sharing this annual report.
Yeah, I'm on page 2.
Yes, on extra time.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's an extra A1 as you go.
Yeah.
Yes, and until to page, if that's an example, maybe I should be able to read the name of the person.
No, that's fine. Continue.
Yes. The question that we wanted to pose to DG is that what are the reasons behind the overly transfer, which I think is a maximum of what the department has learned in terms of allocating this transfer to the agencies, to provinces, and to the municipalities. Or should to assist the PG, maybe I should say the department transfer only 83.1% or 218.2 million against the total budget of 262 million. That's point number one. Point number two, the department transfer 151.1% or 1.1 million against the total budget of 700,000. You can see the difference. The first one, transfer 115.3% or 26.6 million against a total budget of 23.1 million. What were the reasons?
Oh, okay. Right, let me take the last question from Honorable Liz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman, we're now well into the 2015-16 year and the 2014-15 years over, and it seems to me to be quite clear that there will be another qualified audit for the year that's just finished. My question really to you, DG, is can you give us the assurance that the 2015-16 year will be an unqualified audit? And if it's not, will you then resign? Because by that stage, it will be very much your responsibility and accountability, and there will be no one else who should have done X, Y, and Z, only you. Nevertheless, so the question is, will we get an unqualified audit in 2015-16? You're already, I think, nearly two months into this new year. Then the question of consequences has been talked about at length, And the question of progressive discipline is a concept I'm not aware of. That's a new one to me. Could you explain to me exactly what it means? What happens after the 6 months? The report goes to the executive, you say. You know, it's just explain to me what it's all about. Mr. Chairman, the question of immovable assets and the transfer to the municipalities, if they are complete and the transfer simply hasn't taken place, which is what I hear saying, who's actually managing them right now? Who's maintaining them? If they haven't been transferred to the municipalities, who's taking responsibility to make sure the water continues to flow down the pipe, or the dam sluice gates are opened when it should be opened, or whatever? Because, I mean, that's one of the biggest problems we face at the moment is the lack of maintenance of infrastructure. And so if your department's still carrying on with maintenance, I know the projects will be quite new and maintenance levels will be low, but nevertheless, there's always maintenance required. There are breakdowns. Who is doing this? Mr. Chairman, this takes me to water projects such as the Ngula pump transfer generation system. There are two dams involved there. What was the, was any of these problems we're encountering linked to Eskom and their project? I mean, who's responsible for those dams in that project? Let me just take it one step further, because linked to the responsibility for the dams is the catchment for the Volga River. And that surely is not an Eskom issue. So I'm just broadening these movable assets. When they get handed over to the municipality or whatever, the catchment for those dams, in the case of dams, as opposed to pipeline infrastructure, but even pipeline infrastructure has an environmental issue attached to it over a long term. Who is responsible? Your department or the receiving entity, the department, municipality, wherever it is? The question of underspending, there was a comment on your biggest, one of your biggest programs, that there would be a rollover to 2014-15. Were those rollovers approved by National Treasury? And if so, have those projects now been completed? And if not, why not?
Can we get a response to the three? Okay. 15 seconds and I'm counting.
I want to comment. I just wanted to go to page 188. And then you go to see significant uncertainties about the Tatanana session. Referring to Note 21 to the financial statements. Department is a defendant in a number of losses. The ultimate outcome of these matters cannot currently be determined. It is 2005, the man.
No, that's fine. Let's get a response. Otherwise, we're going to have lots of questions and then they get buried.
Actually, let me ask the CFO, Mayor Kao, to deal with the issue around the transfers referred to on page 257. And I'll ask Squire, the DG for Corporate Support Services, to deal with the issues around progressive discipline and the relevant public service regulation around progressive discipline. I'm going to ask the Deputy Director General for Infrastructure to deal with the issues that were raised around the transfer of infrastructure and also the rollovers that were referred. CFO, Sigusta.
Secretary will start on the issue of are we likely to have an unqualified audit in the coming year. Alright, okay, that's fine.
Thank you, Chair. With regard to the amount of money that has been transferred to the member, ask whether why would the department transfer the amount exceeding its budget. the transfer that took place, Chair, does not exceed the budget that has been allocated. The 2.4 that the member is referring to on,
we're on page
257, but the total goes over to 261. And the amount that is referred to of 2.4, if I can make reference into the appropriation statement of the department on page 198, it is on program 3 where it is 2.5. So it does not exceed the budget itself. With regard to the transfers made to the municipalities, falls under on page 193 under transfers and subsidies, the amount of 1.2 billion. And therefore, that does not exceed the budget that has been allocated. Thank you.
Well, just turn your mic. Otherwise, just pull the mic towards you.
The issue of discipline is dealt with in terms of the guideline issued by DPSA on dealing with incapacity. The guideline is found in the documents that DPSA issues. So what happens is, you know, you deal with incapacity in different ways. One of them obviously is that you train the employee first to do the job. After you train the employee can't do the job again, you transfer the employee somewhere else.
So the starting point is acceptance of incapacity.
Yes.
So there is incapacity.
Well, the manager must say that he or she thinks that the employee does not have capacity, and therefore the manager must then start a process of training the person who doesn't have capacity. That's the first step. The second step would be, once you've trained the person, if the person continues not to be able to improve, you then move to the next step. And that next step means you either look for a job somewhere else where the person could be suitable to do the job, or you start, that's the next step actually. I must not skip that. And then the next step obviously would be a termination in terms of...
So where are we now in the department? Where are we now in the department in terms of those three steps?
For which employee?
No. I want you to answer to give further clarity to that question on progressive discipline, so that we know, because you are giving us the conceptual framework of the process. Let's come to the department. Where are we now in terms of that process?
For which employee? Because you have to be specific to an employee. I'm giving the information. You ask the question, Mr. President, please. I don't want to find myself in an argument on another.
Allow
I want to ask a question, what is progressive discipline? Progressive disciplinary action,
right.
You start with, as I said, corrective counseling, verbal warning, written warning, final written warning, reframing, and then you go for,
all right.
For that.
No, that's fine.
Those are the steps.
No, that's okay. Maybe the DG will talk to that. She referred to a specific case, but I think you're correct in giving us the conceptual framework, because that's what the question wanted to know. What is progressive discipline? Can we talk to the other questions? If we're not satisfied, we'll come back to those questions, but let them respond to the number of questions that have been asked. Please.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to respond to the questions relating to the management of the infrastructure that is not yet transferred to municipality. That infrastructure appears in the department's asset register, is managed by the department. Remember, the department has its own operation and maintenance units that is dealing with the assets that are belonging to the department. We have housed those assets temporarily while the negotiations in terms of the transfer taking place. But there is also another process where we are analyzing the ability of some of the municipalities to absorb schemes above 100 million, because in most cases you realize that they are quite deep for some of these municipalities. There is a policy position paper that is under development where we are proposing that the department, DG, may have to look at whether it's the utilities or or assess the capacity of the municipality before they get their transfer, but they are being managed. Whether those things have an impact on ESCOM, we have an agreement with ESCOM. Actually, ESCOM, I think, we are our club number one that gets attention from us, and we have got the level of assurance is sitting at 100%. We have regular teams with ESCOM. Not even one of the things that we talk about is related to the ESCOM operations. The EMULA team is owned by ESCOM. We are supporting it. It has some linkages with our infrastructure. In those areas where our infrastructure is linked to ESCOM, that's where we have this 100% assurance signed in an agreement, and not even once we've had an instance where we had failure, because it is that it's outside our customer and our priority number. Thanks.
In terms of the rollover request that was submitted to National Treasury, there was the approval was granted and the money was used for the intended purpose.
Chair, the question on the Vula pump, I'm not sure if Angela referred to it. Thank you very much. Let me come to the issue that was asked about the progressive discipline. It is concept that is born out of the public service regulation, and we can share what regulation that is, but I think Squire has indicated what that concept is. It's certainly not something that I have created. It is in the public service.
No, that's fine. I think that's
fine. That's fine. Then in terms of the issue around the qualifications for the last 5 years, disclaimers for the last five, I mean, the year before, I think Jay and members, you'll agree, that if that is the situation in the department, then it means we're inheriting a department that is close to this function. To correct such a state is unfortunately not something that I can say will happen in a year. For the last 5 years, it has been repeated. There is not going to be something that you can correct in 1 year. I wish I had a magic wand. I don't. But what I do have is the commitment to do it in a progressive way, to indicate to the chair and to the committee what is it that findings were and how have we dealt with it in a progressive way. So that much, I think, the commitment of the accounting officer can be. And then it is, of course, the executive authority's prerogative to indicate if that has been sufficient or not.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I'll be brief.
Yeah.
Chair, I have here alongside me my colleague, Honourable Lees, and he is a person distinguished for being a gentleman. But I must say one thing. Perhaps I'm not as gentleman as he is. I don't believe that you should resign if you can't achieve that audit. I think you should resign now. I would ask, can you be in a position from September last year until today, which is the end of May? That's 8 months. And with 8 DBGs, you're incapable of appointing 10 people into an audit committee. How on earth is that possible, into an audit committee? The pattern is very clear. When you go through any department and you find massive problems, it always comes back down to the core issue of a non-functional internal audit committee. It is one of the most things of paramount importance that you get right to the department first. I really have to take you on that. And I'm sorry, the CFO as well. And the CFO is not me. The CFO has been around for a long time in this department. It is absolutely vital. You really need to think about that. And you need to fast track it. Would it be any company in the private sector that would leave 10 vital positions vacant for 8 months? No, they wouldn't. Do you know why? Because they'll be out of business. But unfortunately, you're in a fortunate position where you just get government funding. In the private sector, that luxury does not exist. You've got to give that serious attention. Serious attention. In fact, I think we should almost push for a resolution from this particular house that you do it within a prescribed period of time. And there is no way that there are not sufficient people out there in the marketplace who can assist you with that task. the marketplace is flooded with the financial people you can't find work. The next issue I want to raise is, at our briefing here by the AG, we were told there was a financial misconduct committee. I may have the term, the semi-market. And we asked for a list from this department of their work for the past few years. In other words, a full list of who they've, what the matter was, the people involved, what action was taken. That list is not before us today, and it makes me come back to another point, which is fundamental in mixing in the department, is a complete lack of consequence management. A complete and utter lack of consequence management. So you go to the system from the Internal Audit Committee and you don't have consequence. You are doomed to failure. You'll be doomed to failure for a number of years.
Thank you. No, thanks, Chair. Chair, fortunately or unfortunately, I've seen a different tune at the Internal Department. I would start by congratulating the department for, that is, for at last to appoint that is the DG, because if you look at trend in the department, unfortunately one would say it's a serious problem. When you look at quite a number of issues in the department, particularly the human resource that is section, it clearly indicates, that is to you, the magnitude of the problems that we are dealing with. An example would be, I would refer you to page 191, that is of the annual report, where it says, employees were appointed without following a proper process, that is process, to verify the claims made in the application in contravention of the public service regulation. That really indicates that they just appointed people without that is proper qualifications. And obviously, in a situation like that, you are going to have these problems that you're dealing with. The other issue is employees are appointed, the salaries higher than the minimum, that is of the salary range without proper justification, that is justification and contravention of the act. Funded vacant posts were not filled, that is within 12 months. And if you look at the trend also, the vacancy rate in 2013 was reported at 10.5. Now, in the last financial year, it was 12.3. Unfortunately, the situation is getting worse, that is by the day. And I think the DG will have to deal with those issues. But, Chair, I had a very long list of questions. You look at also the supply chain management. There is a serious problem that is in the supply chain management. And I've been listening to the CFO. Unfortunately, she's not even coming close to the answers that we're expecting. I would want to propose that maybe what we need to do, that is with this department, is that we need to agree in this meeting, in line with my colleagues, that the department must look at, that is the AG's report, and develop a very clear action plan, that is with proper and clear timelines as to when and how are they going to rectify, that is, all the issues that are indicated in this report. Because if we are to deal with the questions the way we are dealing with, that is with them, I'm telling you, we'll take the whole day. That would be my submission. Okay. Comment close.
Thank you, Chairperson. DG, when we get into a department, this is an advance. You look at the strong points and the weaknesses. And from the weaknesses, that's where you're going to concentrate, especially when coming, you know, for the first time in a department. Because that will be your strong point to say, I've dealt with the weaknesses that are in the department. If a department, for instance, has got a problem of record keeping, which led to a qualification in 2011-2012 financial year, it shows that there's a problem, and to me, if you were me, I would have started with that. Try to check what is the problem, why can't we keep records? You know, when you come to SCOPA and start being trying to run away with the truth, maybe that's a simple way of putting it. It's going to, when you become sensitive, it's going to lead into problems. Let me tell you, the public servants,
If not, if you don't put your foot down, they are going to play on top of your head. Giving them a verbal warning will never be a solution at all. There needs to be serious consequences. I think, Chairperson, it's about time that you say all the departments that have been here, everybody is not complying with regulations. Because there are regulations that are trying to keep the government intact and to make sure that people are doing what they are paid for. I think it's about time to say, if you don't comply, we'll put some money into your level. I think that's the only time that people will take seriousness as parliament. Because we can't keep on repeating the same thing year in, year out. We're talking about serious things here. We're talking about money, the taxpayers' money that is not accounted for. There's no communication in the department. Anybody can do whatever that they like. You know, somebody wakes up in the morning and just thinks, oh, we can be saying we can never have here without qualification or whatever it is according to the report that we got from the AG's office. I think I agree with the DD should meet with the AG. It's a command, and we need to see a progress report after a month from now on. They must meet, and she must have a clear program of action on how are they going to tackle this problem. Because there are problems from first stage to last stage, according to the annual report. It's really frustrating. The fact that we can have contractors, or what is it, consultants, when they are contractors, within the department that's doing the same job. It means there's something wrong with somebody. Either it's with the human resource. Maybe some people have to be, their contracts have to be terminated because they're just saying, okay, we took you for this, but you know, we're not really qualified. Let's try you for something else. You know, what the DPG explained earlier on, I think I agree the person says when they didn't want him to say anything because now he has made the situation actually worse than it was, you know, the way it was looking. So, you know, when you come to school, when you come to committees of parliament, you must take us serious. We are public representatives. We have been elected to make sure that our people at the end of the day, they get what they deserve in terms of service delivery. Water is a very vital service to our people. And if it's not managed properly, we're going to have these problems. I don't know where to start, Chairperson. I have so many questions. When you find the same employees within the department giving contracts to their relatives or their friends, it means this is going to be a recurring, especially because we just have a legislation that says no employee of government should have a contract with government. So this is what they're going to do, all of them. So I think it's about time that, you know, we need to have proper sense of consequences here. If people don't do that, we'll take money from their balance. Thanks, sir. That I wanted to ask everyone. The PG earlier on, when she answered the question about asset register, she said they do have, but in some parts they don't have. I'm going to ask the PG, since she said they do have an asset register, to give us an asset register of the department before the end of the week.
Yeah, no, I'm here. No, I'm trying to think of a way forward. So, one, prefer you to be brief, and I want to be brief. Because I want the DG to talk to us. The things that we've been asking and the responses we're getting, and they're not... They're just manning the water, so to speak. Yeah.
Chairperson, because I was going to come to the next one, called water trade. And listening, Chairperson, the honorable member,
yeah,
and yourself, a little bit out of order.
No, continue.
No, no, I was asking, no. I wanted to take a... The chaplain says I was looking for a way forward. I was trying to help you.
That's not fine.
We can have a meeting outside. We're having a meeting now. Was it just sabotage us? no chairperson, no, I was not moving, but I wanted to move, you see, because there was a suggestion from one honorable member, which I think the others are not coming through, within raising them with the accounting officer. And quite clearly, if you look at the other part that Honorable Shema is sending and the Paramount is sending, the problem that I say, they are the same. Clearly, that we need a more detailed answer than what the DPG was coming to try and exercise to give us a letter on concepts. We understand concepts, but concepts must have names. Who is progressive discipline and who is verbatim? So we come to the real situation that we're confronted with that. Here, there is no answers. That's what the accounting officer is offering us at this particular moment. Give her time, because she's now saying that she's new and she's going to take a long, long time to take her out of the root problems of the department. I wanted to second that chairperson and ask her to come back without the time frame. In a month's time, she has her accounts open on all things that she's confronted that are in the audit report.
All right.
Chairperson, the Auditor General has been very clear in identifying the problems and their root causes, and has to an extent made recommendations, which I'm inclined to believe are recommendations which take us forward. So I, on one hand, would want to second the idea that go back to the drawing board and come back here with succinct responses, underpinned by both reactive and proactive responses to the problems. Because, I want to make one example. Eight DDGs, eight, have received verbal warnings simply because they flouted treasury regulations. Point blank. Now, what do you expect them to happen as you go down the organic administrative part? If at third level you've got DGs, DDGs, who've got no comprehension. The DG said that they did not understand. And they are being worshipped continuously. That for me, Chair, if anything does not point to the problem that we have, nothing else we need. That's the second point. So let us look at this issue of capacity. But I'm going to this. The issues of HR that have been raised. And we'd want, because I hear the explanation about this progressive discipline, it must apply to people who have been employed cleanly within the parameters and prescripts of the duties of law. You can't be applying progressive discipline to people who have been employed to begin with. They should have been there. Now they say when they arrive, well, I don't have the capacity, so I don't have the capacity, we'll institute progress. So, Chair, we would want an assessment of how each employee was employed. Because we must be, you know, we're speaking to people that should not be there to begin with, and then the problems are going to be recurring. So we really, I think that the suggestion that has been made by colleagues to say the responses we're getting here are not satisfactory, largely theoretical, and in practice do very little to allay our anxieties. So let us go that route, but we must know whether, first and foremost, that people that are in the employ of the department should be there. Before then, you can speak about progressive discipline. Otherwise, we're disciplining the wrong people.
Okay. I want us to... I'm sure you... Well, so many things are said, but I'm sure you can distill and get the gist of what has been raised. Just the last two before we revert back to the department.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll come to you last.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you for the explanation of progressive discipline. My question then, in terms of the concept, is while this process is taking place, who makes sure that the service delivery that has to take place takes place? Or is service delivery taking second place to educating and training some person who shouldn't be in the job in the first place. Mr. Chairman, I'm a little confused. I need a little bit of help. When people are introducing themselves, I understood that the Water Service Commission CFO is here, and that the department CFO is here. Is the department CFO also the CFO for the Water Trading Entity, or is there a third CFO here? Because I'm not sure why the CFO for the Water Service Commission is here when we're not dealing with that commission.
Is it a month or two weeks ago when we were dealing with the Auditor General's office? We were told that they have a certain period of time when they come to the department. And within those few months, they're able to deal with all the problems that are within the department. And I don't think we are competing, you know, them as public servants, because I think we are all public servants. I don't think they are competing. So I'm going to suggest that immediately, just to add up or emphasize on what I said earlier on, for them to meet with the AG's office, because I think there's a lot that they can learn. There's skills that the AG's office is using to find information within departments within a certain period of time, I think will help the especially the new DGs that are there, Jefferson. Thanks.
I'm not sure if there are issues that the CFO and the DGs would like to talk to the DGs just for now. I'm sure we'll be back in less than no time. Because the issues are all encompassing to the generality of the department. And each one of you has a specific area of responsibility which is not performing. And maybe you can talk to your to your own positions in terms of how you see things and how we get out of this matter. Yes, sir.
It isn't that easy to answer the question whether we have three CFOs in here. Yes, we do. You have the CFO for WTE, that's Mpof, okay? You have the CFO for the main account. What is that now? We are very simply introducing them, Safiya. What is the exercise?
Verifying the issues at least.
I mean, the people have introduced themselves. Can you talk to yourself, sir?
No. Please. Just verify that the DG of the department is here. The CFO of the department is not your colleague who asked the question. The CFO for the department and the CFOs of the entities. I think that's the point you're making. They're here. Fine. So honorable list, they're here. No chance.
The Water Service Commission CFO here.
No, you recall that when you got the briefing from the AG, it covered the department and two of its entities. So that's why he's here. So that in case there are issues that we may need to raise, you should be able to transport them. So.
Jefferson, maybe let me respond on the issue of the FRAC, that the financial minister.
You're the CFO of the
Water Trading Entity.
Water Trading Entity. But that's what we're coming to after. Yeah, so maybe just pack it, we'll deal with it when we come to the next part of it. I'll only allow you, because the DG is back, then we can round off and say this is how we move forward.
Jefferson, thank you so much for the opportunity. I think there were some proposals in terms of how do we move forward with the meeting. You did not make any ruling whether are we continuing or are we else going to come back, because I think in light of supporting them as an afterthought, because there are issues that we've raised here and the answer that we got is something different. So it was really going to help all of us to bring in. Remember, I've asked some questions and then
the WhatsApp is supposed to be true. But I think it was going to be an opportunity for me as well to come and prove what direct that information in terms of what we've been raising. So I thought maybe we'll make a ruling before we continue, or we go back, we come after a certain time so that we're able to go on. But how do we write a resolution after this meeting? What do we say?
My friend waiting for the DG to come back, so she doesn't come back and find a ruling in place. But before that, I want to revert back to the DG. There were a number of issues that were raised. I'm not sure if there are specific elements that you want to talk to before maybe we move to the next item.
I'm told, thank you very much. I'm told I have a CFO that raised the issue of the list of financial management misconduct cases or financial misconduct cases. There was requested from the AG, but we are very willing to make that list available to yourself. The issue of the action plan of the AG following the management letter and the audit opinion. We have an action plan and are willing to go through detail of that presentation if the committee so requires, and how we've dealt with the details of their findings. We share this with the audit committee, and the AG is present at the audit committee every month when we do meet. So we are working with the AG's office. Perhaps not to the level that yourselves require, and we will take your guidance on the matter. But we meet with them on a monthly basis, so that I can allay your fear around that matter.
It's more worry than fear.
Okay.
Allay your worries.
Your worries.
More than
no. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. So that we can deal with your worries.
But there are more worries from the law than ours.
That's fine. The worries of the road in change,
We're not worrying for our own sake and our own selves.
Mm.
About the law.
Mm. So that we can then deal with that. Then with regards to page 191, I think I'm going to ask, there was a question from Member Gekan around 191. I think that you must also deal with that. The comment I accept in terms of when you first enter a department to do an assessment, I accept it, and I exactly what it is I've been busy with in the last few months. But the magnitude of this department, Chair, I must impress upon the committee. It is massive. If you, for example, if you request, can we look at how each employee was appointed, and if there can be an assessment that each of them was appointed as per the regulation of the public, the dictates of the Public Service Act and others. The employee base of this department is 8,000 people. Now, to go to each one's appointment, and when were they appointed, and if it was in the peak of some of them, date back 40-50 years. This department is one of those departments that's not a new department. So it will take us a while. It's doable. But I'm not sure the outcome will make you any the wiser. But if that's the directive of the committee, then so be it. But we'll then have to find a way to actually put that information before you. But the strengths and weaknesses of where it is in a changing mandate as well, it's not something that just can be picked off and I arrive at it. It can also be done in consultation and close working with the political leadership of the department, because the minister and the deputy minister themselves would have an interest in where the weaknesses and the strengths are of a department, with the view that you are able then to say, these positions must be filled. I agree with you on this position. So you are allowed to go ahead and solve this. Because the delegation doesn't mean that it's all to me. I have to follow the delegations, and there are some delegations for those level positions that reside with the executive authority ever. So in some ways, yes, we must do it, I accept it, but it's not something that can be done in a matter of a few months. Then there was the complication, Chair. Not the complication, but the decision, rather, of the sanitation function moving into the department. That only moved in November of 2014. So that restructuring, and the Public Service Act only allows you one opportunity to restructure in a financial year, to wait for the financial year to advent, and as it's advent, then issue a letter to the DPSA to allow them to go into review and restructure. So it's also within the confines of those parameters that I find myself, and that I have to make it work for me. To move with great speed, absolutely. To do it as quickly as possible, absolutely. I would like to say, as I said before, if we want to do it, I must also act. And I know, I said, the Chair, you may not like this issue of progressive discipline, but I also have to follow the law and respect the rights of those employees at high and lower level. I do it as speedily as I can. I am committed to do that as well. So that much I can certainly commit to. And then with regard to the last point that was raised around the provision of the added register, most certainly we have a register. And as for the annual financial statement, we also have to label our register and disclose it. So most certainly we will make that available to yourselves. I think I've dealt with everything except for page 191, but I'd like the CSO to make a comment.
Yeah, no, let's hear the CFO first.
We this
on the mic.
We the audit findings on these matters were all addressed to the situation of the AG afterwards. We had corrected all the issues that were raised. The first issue that was raised was the issue of checking of employees' CVs when they apply. We introduced a format that everybody that applies in post must be checked before the person is employed. And in this regard, I can tell you now, it's taking us longer now to employ people than we did before because of that particular issue. We are very strict on it. There may be one or two people that may slip out, but generally 99% of people that we're employing now go through their check list. And we make sure that we contact SHATA to make sure that we qualifications are checked and properly done. The issue of the performance agreement that was not signed, the DG that had not signed the performance agreement was on suspension. He was the only one that had not signed it. He was on suspension, so we couldn't make him sign the performance agreement while he was on suspension. All other employees had signed the performance agreement. The issue of people being hired at higher posts than the salaries that they have. This is a problem that we face after we lose a case at arbitration. What happens is you hire an employee on OSG at entry level, and the employee comes and says, I want to be hired as an employee at entry level. We argue and say, but I want to hire you at entry level. The employee says, because of my qualifications and everything else experience, I think I should be hired at a higher level. We have a lengthy argument, we go to arbitration, the arbitrator then rules in favor of the employee. Then we have no choice but to implement the addition of the arbitrator. And something that we sometimes feel like, you know, if we're not government, we would say we're going to defy that, but we can't do that. We've got an arbitrator. The arbitrator has made the ruling. We have to implement the decision of the arbitrator. And then what then happens is, because the arbitrator has made the ruling on a matter, let me give you an example, the clerk.
No, that's fine. That's all right. I think the conceptual part answers the question on what happened and why.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
Okay, and then the last issue here is, or the last issue of answer, that some employees have not signed the contract. It was the DG that was suspended that had not signed it.
All right. Now, I want us to do this completely because I think we have gone through almost everything. What is important is much more what happens going forward. I want to say that maybe the concept of progressive discipline just came from a different angle from us, of the assumption, and looking at the report, implies that you are dealing with people who have committed a misconduct. I think that's where we're coming from. Now the explanation, the content of something else, I think that's where the difference was. But I think it is neither here nor there, in relation to bigger issues in the IMAS court. I think, comrades, maybe what we may request the department to do is to maybe send us through your comprehensive action plan in terms of how you deal with the issues that are here. And then ourselves, through our researchers and ourselves, look at that action plan and how it talks to the issues raised by the Auditor General. Remember that in July, the Auditor General is going to give another report on this same department. We can then be able to make comparisons. I do think, comrades, that the department has had challenges for quite a long time, and we've had engagements with this department on a number of issues. So I think, you know, when we sit here and listen to officials telling us this is going to happen, this, and that is what we've had almost every other time we've said with officials. It loses that sense of making you feel relieved that, okay, the right things are now going to be done. That line has been had so many times. And sometimes not because of, I don't know, the minister is not here. Because if you have disruption in leadership, it's an administrative problem, but it's also a political problem. Unless and until we have stability and we're able to build a culture of administrative management that responds to the prescripts of the law, we're just going to moving in cycles. We'll come here 18 months down the line, you're not there, there is somebody who will tell us, you know what, I have a plan. All those things that were happening before me won't happen. And so, you know, just moving in the same cycle. So I hope you can appreciate the frustration that I that. For the last 5 years or so, these have been the challenges. And yet, provision of water is a very important and critical element in the lives of our people. And it will be shameful that next year's elections, water might become one of the campaigning issues. It just shows the depth of weakness and shallowness when we're campaigning about very, very basic existential things like water. Instead of talking development and how we can, you know, do better, okay. So I'm just saying that the issues that the department deals with are quite critical, and if there is no movement, surely there is no way in which we would take it as business as usual. I think that the department has officials who are at home. The sense of responsibility and agency requires to serve the public in the spirit of the Constitution and the PFM is not there. Next week we'll have a hearing with another department that ever since I've had this committee, I've never had an unqualified audit opinion. And we've met with them on several occasions, and there's one official who is always there. And whenever we have hearings, she has all the answers. But come the following year, nothing has improved. So sometimes you see, you listen to officials, they explain things these attempts to get across. So I just say, you're a new DG, you've come into a new environment. The sense has not changed. Otherwise, we'll be in the same situation. And I hope that politically, you will have the requisite cover to be able to deal with the problems in the department until the end of your contract, or until everything is sorted out. Otherwise, it becomes a mindless game for us to be meeting and talking to the finishers. And yet, our own people out there, who are supposed to get services, don't get them properly. I think that's where we are. That's where we're at. So, if we can get that election plan sent through, we'll have a look at it in terms of what extent does it respond to the issues. If we think and feel we need to come back and have a discussion now, focus on how you are responding to the issues, then I think we'll be able to make that call. Can we leave it at that? Right. Can we go to Comrade Kekan before we go to the next item?
No, Chair, in your summary, there's one area that you did not cover. By when? When are we going to get this action done?
So before the end of the week? Yeah, so before the end of the week. Should be able to get it. Comrade Paul, can you... Let's deal with the entity. I was hesitant to talk about home, because the last time we visited the water board, there was this great question in Bushmark Region for the transfer of the thing there. It was supposed to be done in 2 months. We're supposed to get a report in 2 months, but we're still waiting. So the issue around the transfers and other hanging, yeah, I think. But anyway, let's leave out. They will look at the action plan and then we'll talk to it. Yes, Congress.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hope the accounting officer knows that as you go on trying to find solutions, the fiscal is not spending. You get paid, you travel, the fiscal, the one that is spent, is not spending. It creates a problem. That's why maybe one of the members is saying that we would have to find a way of dealing with what you are. But, Chairperson, if you go to page 283 of the main report, it is the report of the Auditor General of Parliament on the water trading entity. And it deals with basis for qualified opinion. The revenue from exchange transactions. If you start there, Sir President, that will tell you that the frustration has not been met. It's a continuous problem. Well, the entity did not comply all revenue relating to water licenses issued. The other line says when it starts, the opening line. And given that the DG is a very new person, the problems are continuous. Would she be able to talk this matter? Because the Auditor General is very explicit in the type of the crisis that is there. That would be the first part that we have to give us some information. And then the Auditor General goes to serve qualified opinion and then explains what exactly is happening. I'm on page 284 of the decision. And the significant uncertainties, he comes back to it against the Auditor General. Clearly, with reference to note 26 to the financial statement, the water trading entity is a defendant in a number of lawsuits. That's what it says. I hope you won't be able to dodge this one. What is the crisis that is going on? And what is the magnitude of the problem? I asked you earlier, to Dodge now, I'm saying that in the water trading entity. There is it. It's on page 284. It talks to number 9, significant uncertainties. And then as you go down that line, and you look at the restatement of corresponding figures, this is the state of the water entity, given by the Auditor General. It hasn't been 50 years, if possible, quickly. As disclosed in note 30 to the financial statements, the corresponding figures for the year 31st March was August. The financial statement of the water trading and for the, so the errors that are there then seems not to make the Auditor General a happy man. And he is very content about the fiscal. So many errors in what they are providing information for him to be able to relate and give a proper run of this particular entity. There are too many errors. And he explained that. Would be able to give us some guidance. Or to need another period. And then go down, you predetermine the other legal and regulatory requirements. You go on and on with the report. And then you deal also with the issues of reliability and the usefulness of your information. You see what the Auditor General is saying. He's up to, he's quite not happy at all that you have provided reliable information. I don't know. Maybe you'll give it against your CFO. And the argument that you are new will come in. But these are things that are more practical that you expect an accounting officer to deal with these matters. That is the information that is in front of the Auditor General. Is it reliable? So that when it comes to Parliament, the Auditor General clearly says that this is a report that comes to Parliament. And that's how he's outlining that reliability and the usefulness of your information, that it has not been useful to assist him to come at the point where he has come in. So it goes up, you see, and your strategic planning in page 286, the Auditor General, the accounting officer did not ensure that the entity maintains an effective, efficient and transparent system of internal control. That is on page 286, and that's number 26. Now you see that doesn't need 50 years. An accounting officer is an accounting officer. We pay as taxpayers. And the fiscal system says, yes, you can't tell me that you couldn't. Maybe that's why you're verbatim warnings. That's the consequences of them now. There is no report in front of us that could be done with the water trading. And then you go to 29, 30, 31, procurement and contract and contract management. You look at the state of things there. We don't know if it's you and family or somebody there, but the state of things in front of us are pathetic. People are doing business with each other here. And it's explained by the Auditor General. It didn't take 50 years. It is a day to sit in office and be able to come to the state of water entities. So it goes on. And then at the same page on leadership, I don't know even what going to internal controls. I just wanted you to see the reflection that the water trading entities is quite pathetic. And the Auditor General, in terms of where he knows he earns his salary from, the fiscal and from Parliament, has done a very good piece of job here to be able to give us guidance on the state of things and look them into the department. Now leadership, he starts there, he says the high vacancy rate resulted in core functions being performed by contractors in specialists or delegated. Now you have got an accounting officer who is new, but it's not simple. They can't expect, you can't expect us to say the one that is what the GCG wants to believe, that the other one was on holiday or was being suspended. And then this type of state of leadership should be created. That is in front of us, and that's what the Auditor General has picked up. And it's how, in his earnest and honesty, he's presenting himself in front of Parliament. And then I'll take the last one out of what the Auditor General says in page 287, investigations. Other reports. Several investigations are being conducted by the internal audit unit at a request of the, which is, I assume, at your request, accounting officer or the minister arising from allegations of procurement and irregularities. Would you be able to provide us with facts who is this and what's going on. And you see, I can see that DDG has gone holiday again. As usual, he arrived late and then nothing, he speaks and speaks, now he's gone out. But the reality is, how do we explain this environment to all of us? You see, I wanted to explain to the DDG that we're not new. This training workshops is organizing, we're quite fair and well. But the experience is in front of us, according to official, is that you do something wrong in the department, it gets identified, and then you get changed within the department. Your colleagues started to reorganize you, a new destination, somewhere in the department. Is it then we find out that we can't get hold of you. We can't get hold of you as parliament because accounting officers are starting to redesign. That's what we suspect about the progressive discipline. That you are saying to us that you can mess up in area A, we will then reorganize. That's what that gentleman was explaining and find a new job for you somewhere else within the department. Now it's done quite regularly in government. In this department, man, it's done quite regularly. You're not the owner of the stadium, it's done quite regularly. That's why we're getting quite a number of people trying to pinpoint to department. No, we know that when you mess up, you get a new job. And you see the DDG is gone. But you know that it's not another truth. You see? I've been here for 21 years, man. I know what he's talking about. He's misleading us. He's misleading us because there's no truth in what he's telling us. But if ever he can just provide us with the names of people that he done this upgrading that he's talking about, will be very clear. So that you can able to know that which individual and which are the people that he's talking about. But if you look at what Honorable Gagan is applying in terms of the human resource, and you look at what the results that they're talking about by the auditor and all, there seems to be no truth. But they misled the department here. And that I want to have correct the individual that he's talking to, and you could see they are being trained. You yourself are saying to us, 8 DDGs that are under you are on verbal team. How can we be confident about that? What does that imply to us? That there's no department. It doesn't exist. That's the statement I'm making to us today. That's why I'm very concerned about the state of things.
All right. I think DG, what the committee did was to lift out almost all the issues that have been identified in the annual report. And then maybe we can then talk to why did we have the gaps in the first instance. And then maybe later we can talk to where are we now. Because these things happen either because there are no people, or they happen in the presence of warm bodies, or they happen because of warm bodies that are in the department. They don't happen in a vacuum. There is somebody employed to ensure that things are done in a particular way, and yet things go the other way around. Why? How come? Who is accountable? Who takes responsibility? And where are we now? In relation to the generality of the issues and problems that afflict this very important entity of the department.
Okay, let me ask the CFO for the WTE to start around some of the more detailed issues around the control environment. And I will augment his responses and also deal with the issue of how we have moved forward on the findings. CFO.
Thank you, Chair. And members. Chair, with the first issue of the qualification matter being revenue, we must say that we were also disappointed at the last hour of our audit to pick up that we had not helped with our issues in full. We thought we were home and dry, but there was something that we didn't do. And what we didn't do, Chair, was that there were licenses that were approved by the DG, and those licenses were not captured into the system. And those licenses, when we interacted with AG, they asked us the question. We tried to go back. We did find out that indeed those licenses did not see themselves to get into the system by our regional offices or provincial offices. Unfortunately, we didn't do the whole population. We went and looked at the comparative year, which was 2012, 18, and 13, 14. And we didn't anticipate that it could have been.
If you don't do the whole population, who must do it? Who will do it?
I have a concern. The CFO is talking, and the DDG went out. The DG just went out. I don't know. But she said she augments the CFO. But what is it that she's going to augment?
She had all the questions. She will come short. But I hear you. Yes, CFO.
Chair,
I think let's allow the CFO to, let's hear what he has to say and we'll respond to it, to what he says. And I'm sure the DGS accounting officer will be able to come in and give her own sense of things as the overall.
Chairperson, you see, with your respect to you, when the elements of starting to undermine us comes in as an institution, you must be concerned. You know that CTG came late and is now left. The DG has been coming in and out. Now you say that he must talk alone and she will augment. This is like a signal of, look, you can do as you like, I'll continue to do what that is. It's a simple thing. She left us, she didn't even send you a note. She didn't even tell you where she's going. You can't support and act in that particular way. By getting Parliament to be undermined, or an institution that is guided by the Constitution, and expect people to be responsible in front of us. You can't allow us to be treated like this.
Yeah, no, I think the DDG, I think he has left his laptop there. Yeah, no. What I'm saying is that I'm sure he's going to come back, but I can't vouch for that. However, the DDG, I'm sure that she's going to come back. The first time she went out, she asked for permission and signaled that she had to rush out. So I imagine that she's going to come. So I would really urge Comrade Kunoza, let's allow the CFO.
Before the CFO, Chairperson, I've helped in two committees that had a lot of entities, DPR and transport. And a lot of the problems that they had was communication amongst the from the department itself and the entities itself. So you find that they don't even meet. Maybe they meet once in a year and all that. So what is going to respond on? It's very key and important that the DG is here to hear what he's saying, because that can help the department. Because we have already realized from the department's the department's thing, that there was no communication at all. So that's why it's important that when the CFO accounts or whatever is responding on, the DG is here to hear what he has to say.
I think, colleagues, let's move from the premise that the department is fully informed of what is happening in the entity. So whatever the CFO was going to respond to the DG away, and it will only be when she responds to find that there are discrepancies, that's when we say no, it appears that there are issues. But unfortunately, she's back. Cannot allow the CFO to then talk to issues so that we can then CFO?
Yes, Chef. as I was explaining, you say what led to the mistake that we had. As I said, we did very well in terms of trying to address the audit qualification. If you can see, Chairperson, from where we're coming from to where we are, we have worked very hard. But what I'm trying to say was, when we corrected, after we picked up that there could have been license is not being kept, then we started correcting. We understood at that point that the problem is only for the current year, because we, our business process should be fine. However, we were wrong. And that's why we had to then go back and say, how do we run this problem going forward? We have to also, in terms of ensuring, first, the first thing we did was to look at the business processes to say when application of license gets done and it gets approved, and after it's approved, what process then must kick in terms of who must take over the responsibility. So we closed that whole loop that used to be in place. And I think I'm happy that this matter shouldn't be a problem of the qualification going forward. We have also, through the deed as well, made dedication to capacitate the license and make it ring-fenced so that the whole process does not get into a problem. Another issue was documents, because sometimes you find that the applicant's documentation was not always the, whether the ID or other issues that has been taken into
but it should not be a problem.
It should not be a problem
now as well.
And I think the audit committee can vouch to that, because we normally meet with them, they know. And I think the AG, they also look at our audit action plan. There's a close working relationship ourselves with the AG on these particular matters. Now, on the letter of the significant uncertainties, yes, we agree that we have disclosed that there are companies that have lawsuits against us, and we have companies that we have lawsuits against them. And I think my DDG corporate is responsible for the legal details of saying what are the specifics of what those companies are alleging against us, what they think we have done them wrong, and what we think we have been done wrong by those whom we also have litigation against. And I think with the you cooperate, DDG Corporate, he's coming back. DDG Corporate Services is the one who's just gone out. To.
Okay. All right, that's fine. He will join us. I'm sure he will be able to.
With regards to the predetermined, I think the colleague, Sandy, will deal with that issue of the internal audit, Chair. I think it was exhausted enough on the first, because we share the same internal audit, because the trading entity is not outside. It's a trading entity which is inside. It's definitely inside the department. It's just that we operating on different systems, but we are within the same.
Then necessitates a fully capacitated internal audit if it serves both the entity and the department. Okay, continue. I'm just underlining that part.
Chair, on the issue of, I'll try to address, but my colleague, DG Corporate Services will act on the peer questions under supply chain. Because the questions that have been raised here, firstly, we didn't have ourselves the tools to be able to, the root cause there is that we didn't have the tools. So that if anyone does work with us, we can easily check whether...
But what were the tools necessary for you to do?
The tools necessary that we needed to have was that if a company, let's say, the company come to us, can actually take that information, compare it with CIPC, and compare it back to our own data information of who actually might be the employee within the department that might be doing business with us or doing business with another
government department, because it's two points. It's those who declare, whom they declare in their declaration, who agency says they did not declare, and it's those who actually work for us but doing business with other public entities whom they have not actually declared with us with regards to that information.
Just a minute.
I specifically said procurement, 29 just said to us, if you could read that to us, I think English is very simple. Don't read, interest is your own argument. Read that one and apply your mind on it, even apply the issue. Don't read it.
What page is it?
It's on page 286, chapter 1. Just dump all the others. Said you hope it's good contract, but it's on. It gives it procurement. 29 just said to us. It's very clear. What the old judge has said. Now he's re-explaining himself rather than giving an answer on what is black and white from.
Yeah, I thought your follow up comrade would be why they say that they do not have the tool, the means, the capacity to detect when a person applies that this person is an employee or I thought the fundamental question would be why did you have that tool? Because I suppose that's fundamental to supply chain. Yeah.
So you said you will give him the plane and then the DG will augment his argument. And the DDG was an origin comeback. So there are three people that I'm expecting to provide an explanation. It's only them that I was going to methodologies. But your first proposal was that it need to be efficient. Is that also getting clarity from him in how he interprets English? But generally, I was going to come back.
Okay.
Chairperson, I think, as I said, our DDG corporate services will give for all those three, to say 29, 30, and 31. I was just speaking about the one particularly on number 80 and number 31, which I said the tool was not there, but the other one, people should be actually making their request to the DG to get approval in terms of that. But the DG corporate services will then deal with that. Now, the last item on that 36, where AG says we contact a specialist. There were two colleagues that were employed through the PS public service to come and be with us to augment our capacity. At a time when we didn't have the capacity, because I didn't have the chief directors for management accounting, for financial accounting, as well as for supply chain. Now the two colleagues who were there, one was assisting me on the revenue management, and one was assisting me on the supply chain. And I think those were contracted. It's not the PSP. It was people who came in, whom we wanted to come with the specific skills to come and assist us whilst we're on a motion of appointment. And I hope if you go to our management, detailed management report by even AG, they have alluded that we have since appointed four chief directors who are working with us and we are able to do what we're supposed to.
Right, DDG is on page 286 on procurement and contract management, items number 29, 30 and 81, in terms of people who got contracts. Yet their close family members or associates, some of your employees, or employees of the entity who are doing remunerative work outside of their employer's house without permission. Yeah.
Honorable Chairperson, This study was started by us when I was the Public Service Commissioner, with the Public Service Commission, to check within the whole public service
whether people have companies, whether they have companies, whether, and still looking at the public service. So every year the Public Service Commission issues this report. It has then had names of people in the various departments around the country. It normally makes headlines in the newspaper, including politicians and everybody else in that list. So you get people that don't tell you, when you are judging a tender, that they have family relatives that are doing business with DTI or doing business with Department of Economic Affairs or doing business somewhere else. Some of them, their spouses may even be doing business with us. You don't know. But when we don't attend, the people have to declare their interest. And the employees, normally, they are clever, some of them. When they have an interest, they normally recuse themselves from
it.
Now, what happens is, once the report comes out that the PSC issues, it sends to all the departments. We then check the names of the employees that are within our department and whether they're doing, they have companies and everything else, and whether they ask the minister permission to serve on those companies. And then we issue them with letters, and they have to explain, and then we charge them, and we take the necessary action.
So in this instance, what has happened?
So in that instance, the names were given to the SIU. There's an SIU in the department that's been investigating. The names were given to the SIU to follow up to check if there's money that people received, if there's money that they earned, so that we can take the necessary action with them. We have issued them with letters to explain why they did business, and most of them would explain that it was my wife's company, not me, I'm not there and all that. But we take this action. Just recently, I had to issue other letters to people about a week or so ago to get business with us from the main account. We follow them up. We give them warnings. We actually, when there's serious issues, we even go to the extent of saying the access for sale unit may have to come in. We haven't approached them as yet, because we haven't received anybody who's really made substantial money in this particular instance. But we follow them up thoroughly. When senior managers, is easy. Senior all directors have to sign disclosures at the beginning of the year. So with senior managers, it's easy. We know. If you have not declared and we find that you're doing business, it's virtually a termination of your employment. Because at least they sign the disclosures. Now, these others are normally junior officials, and at this age, we don't have all public servants signing disclosures, unfortunately. That's where one of the problems comes in. Perhaps the committee could raise a matter with DPSA to say, maybe all public servants should sign these disclosures.
Okay. You want to make a follow-up, comrades?
No, I got a follow-up, comrades. Why? Don't mislead us. Be honest. Because what they are saying, I'll tell you now, I'm a member of the Public Service Commission. They have said yes in one of the committees. I've read their report this early morning. I've read what they are talking. I understand the Public Service Commission. It's a constitutional vote. It's why. But, Corey, answer.
No. Corey, I'll be fresh.
Oh, actually, I thought I was saying to everybody.
No.
Okay. But what you want, we want the detail. I thought that you are telling us the truth. Who has wronged the department? Who has charged the money of the... Who has taken the fiscals? That's what they're interested. Do we have that? The DG here, and what the Auditor General says, if you go to page 287, he says there's investigations. You see, I don't understand how you're not reading, and you see, the Auditor General says there are verbatim warnings, there are progressive disciplinaries, and you've been getting these concepts. You want to hear the English, you want to hear the specifics. Who has held the fiscals?
Okay.
So that question is about. The Auditor General has identified the problem, and who has one answers? If you don't let us about how we know these things. I mean, I'm telling you that the PSU, what is exactly going. I was reading their report in the early months. They have, it's not about publicity, it's about where are you deployed. You have been here in water and trading. That's the answer we want. What is exactly going on? A specific thing. Clearly, what is the rate of things?
I don't know. On the specific, maybe the case that I
can give as an example. I'm not sure that the WTEJ, where we went to the other 49 unit.
I thought to say, yes, we have the list of the individuals affected. I may not have the names here, but I have the names.
We will provide the names.
And what has happened to them?
Chairperson, I was actually interested in that, so I'm glad that the DG is saying he will surprise the names and what happened to those. But Chairperson, I was going through what is the main function of water trading entity. I could not get it from what the CFO was explaining. I'll say it in your own words. Just to tell us what is the main tag, the main mandate, as you, try to put it, on day-to-day basis, what you do from 8 o'clock until 5 o'clock. With all the uncertainties that you have, I'm actually worried to say, what have you been doing since the inception of the water entity? And again, Chairperson, the organogram seems not to be clear. If you look at entities from other departments, I've served in different committees in Parliament. The other entities, they will have their own organogram. They don't actually use the, I think the DDG, most of the people here are overwhelmed. I think that's a root cause that we are not looking at. Because if you find a DDG of the department, again being a DDG of an entity, I think it's going to be a problem. So you keep on saying, this can be answered by this person, this can be answered by this. But if you look at other entities, they'll have their own organogram. And they would be here to answer to some of the questions. But the other question I wanted to ask is how many dams, or I don't know what you call them, dams, rivers, that do we have in South Africa? Is it government-owned or is it publicly-owned? Does it serve our people? Because we find people who have bought farms in a, where they have dams and all that, they end up owning them. And we find people who are living in the surroundings don't even have to make use of those dams when the government is actually helping those dams in terms of infrastructure and all that. But we find that our people don't benefit from those dams. Thanks, Chair.
All right. The last part of your question, well, they can talk to that, but not that extensively. Our main area of operating interest is very financial, but maybe so far as it might relate to government assisting with infrastructure, that expenditure, and people accessing, okay, now fine. Right.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to make a follow-up on the revenue from exchange transition. I've heard the CFO saying it was a mistake. I keep that one, but cautiously so, because it's a mistake that has cost the entry 100 million. And if I said in this committee to talk about random funds, even the half cents is a fact. And if, I want to check the name, Mr. Mufke can say it's an honest mistake, was it a result of a system error? Or was it a result of a human error? So that we are able to part ways with this amount of money. And also, the AG continuously say the MPG couldn't maintain adequate records to indicate whether to grant users unlawfully.
for using water before their license applications were approved. Why is the entity not keeping records? What is the problem? Who has been charged in that regard? You can link it with the first question that I've asked. If the person responsible or if a system which comes from who? Who's the service provider of that kind of system which cannot reach this such loss of huge amounts? And that's to ask one most important thing which will... Okay, can I help? Okay, to ask one most important thing that maybe could have assisted the entity not to, to incur this kind of mismanagement of funds. Do you have a business process and a policy that defines processes of water use licenses? I think I'll pause that question for now.
Thank you, Chair. The main function of WTE is to ensure that all our infrastructure, from development to final construction and to their maintenance, we look after that. So basically, when government says we need a dam, then the entity becomes the area that goes and constructs the dam. The entity comes back and be the one that ensures that that dam is maintained. But for it to be built, it has to get the resources both from the state and from the users.
Yeah, no, just quickly touch through that one.
Yeah.
Just fundamental question.
The issue of how many dams are in that we can give, there are more than 300, but I think the DG is here to give the exact figure. On the issue of a mistake, which is material mistake, I do agree it's a material mistake, but the money is not lost. Meaning that we our customers will still pay for that particular bill. The only thing is that the customer has never received his invoice, and definitely, but you haven't been using the water. So that is the impact of the error. The impact of the error is that the user will have been using the water without paying. Now, every time when you deal with when you uncover this, we then start billing and ensure that we recover our
redundancy,
our money.
We have done that.
Yes, we have done that. Now,
on that issue.
I don't want to try to create a dialogue or an argument that the answer that he's presenting to say that it's not lost because the user is still going to pay. But in my own understanding and experience, local government, municipalities are struggling to get their money over people who have used electricity, even though they've got their bills. And how you sure are that? Because a person can say, I'm arguing, I didn't use it. And you say, a user is still going to pay, so we need not to worry. But then the bookkeeping will always accumulate. Because they can even say, we're going to pay by 2017. And then you'll come and say here, the user is still going to pay. I think it's not the basis of what we are asking as a college. That's why, no, don't worry. Just sit and relax. Even if when you come next year, the user is still going to pay because they know they've benefited. I think it's not, it doesn't care what. Thank you.
On the same question, I hope you understand that misleading Parliament is a very serious charge. I hope you understand. And we are not going to think that we are not like you. When you give compliance, we'll send you on holiday. We're definitely not going to deal with this matter. Because the auditor's report on page 283 revenue from exchange transaction. Can you read that in profile, sir? It says approved licenses were uploaded, however, which is once, not uploaded, which resulted in the non-billing of lawful water users. Now you say to us that was a small mistake. You are misleading us. I hope you are reading what the Auditor General is saying. And then you go down. I was not able to determine the full extent of the understatement of penalties for late registration of water use, as the water tree did not maintain adequate record to indicate whether the user spoke. It's your responsibilities even before it goes over. These are internal matters in front of you. Now, tell me, in what you're saying that this was a mistake, how far does the Auditor General mislead us as parliamentarians? And on top of it, you don't have an audit committee. It could be on the top, but it simply says, in the auditor, as a result, the internal audit function struggled to fulfill its responsibilities. Are you standing there and counting newspapers? What are you talking about? Be honest to us. What is the state of this thing? Don't mislead us here. We're not children. The Auditor General has written this book.
I think what we need to do, CFO, is to talk to the certainty of the payment by those who had been left out. The mechanism there, of course, I think that's the substance of Comrade Joanna's question.
Thank you, Dave. I must apologize. Maybe I sound as if I'm making this matter to sound to be small. I agree that it's a very serious matter. It should have never happened in the first place. But we are putting all efforts to ensure that this matter does not happen again. And I think I can assure the scorper to say we have definitely made sure that we resolve this matter. So that we don't have, and I think that's the reason why we think we've restarted billing the people. I take the point that if billing is one issue, people can still argue about not paying. I'm not disputing.
How many license users are involved? Have you billed them already? Anyone who is paying, have they given any responses?
Of those that were raised. I've got the figure now. I'll give it to the chair now. I'll give it the figure because I've got the figure here of the ones that we picked up that we now have built. There are some that we did not build, which we still file in the process of getting the documentation to build them. But we are part of the ones that we built before June will have completed, because some of them I've even tried to meet them personally in terms of explaining the big amount of the invoice that they'll be getting, so that I don't get surprised about the invoice that is going to come for all the other years that they didn't get it. But I'll give the feedback.
In terms of the real root cause, as I said, the issue of the business process was an issue that didn't have a full value business process that start and finish and ensure that there is no loophole in our process. That one now has been resolved, and I'm working closely with my colleague, the DG regulation, because myself, actually, DG regulations is the one that is actually the main person who's managing this, but together myself and the DG regulations, we are working close to ensure that we get this thing done. It was not a systems issue that, because the system cannot capture itself. It needs people to capture to get that. By the way, the way issues of road classifications that were a problem within ourselves, we have resolved that rule clarification, that everybody now knows what to do and what can what is in point. So, all the water use, all the lawful water users, there is a, from the regional, from the regulation DDG, they are the ones that can see if a person is not complying, they can bounce. We call them the buscopios that normally goes and check for those who are defaulting. And some of those defaulters who illegally use our water, they actually get pounced on to actually to be able to recover the lost revenue. With the minutes, Chair, I'll just get my information for the numbers.
Okay, Chair. Mine is on the 30-day payment. That it is the entity complying with that, and if not, what are you then doing in trying to remedy the situation? If you are complying, do you have a list that is of the companies that you have paid within the 30 days? Because the president is talking about this, and a number of ministers are also raising this issue, and unfortunately our departments are not complying with the law.
Chair, maybe let me give the figures. Of the 792 licenses that were not captured, we have since captured 251 of those that were captured. The ones that were still not captured is where we were still having some lack of documents, which have already since received all those documents, and those are the ones that I'm saying. Before end of June, all of them will have been captured. With regards to the payment of creditors, we are actually, whilst we still have some few customers, which again is not acceptable, that everybody must be paid within, but I must acknowledge that even the AG has seen it, that we have improved. We've moved from 39 days of our customer cycle average of all our customers to 24 days in the year under review. And it's in the report which the AG actually confirmed. So we are doing, but that doesn't mean still if one or two of people are not paid on time, it's still an issue that we need to address.
All right.
What is saying? Unless it's the same day, Alan. It says you don't pay within 30 days, that's what I'm supposed to pay. But what you talked about earlier, on 739 licenses, from them you only have processed 239. So this you have 500 and something. That's why, you know, that person I was asking the question that I asked earlier on, I don't get the sense of what they are doing every day. If you have 500, you know, plus minus 500 licenses that are not yet processed, and they are only going to give us a report in June, then it means from now on until then, there are things that are really gathered, nobody is dealing with them. And I've asked about the organogram. I seriously want to understand how you are working as an entity.
I just wanted to make a follow-up to what...
Yeah.
Now, my question was, on the 30-day, is the CFO implying that in terms of their internal, that is, procedures, because he referred to 39 days, are you implying that in terms of your internal procedure, you are paying within 39 days? Because the law is very specific. It refers to 30 days.
Okay. Come report.
No. I wanted to have a gentleman, you know, it was not English leaders. Read number 33 and interpret what the Auditor General says on page 286. And I wanted you to encourage, look at, yeah, it talks about expenditure management. That number 33, that's what we're trying to get from you. Is the Auditor General misleading us? See, it's not us. We're dealing with Auditor General. He's written it in black and white that they are not complying with that. Now, you have to give us a story. We like stories, but this is not a storytelling session. It's a tell us facts and evidence. So, I wanted to ask you to get the accounting officer before you allow other people to finally say to some of these issues. Because there's quite a lot of gaps and there's an interaction. So I thought that now you've listened to the DDG and we've listened to the digital. We want to hear her. What does she say? What is the state of things within the entity?
No, I was still going to give her the responses of the CFO. I think CFO is on the question of the settlement of obligations. If you're able to say so many percentages of our clients are paid with their debts, so many, the 24 day, that's your average. That average does not mean everybody. So it means that there are those who stay fall outside. What is the power? I think that would assist in giving us a much more clearer picture.
Thank you, Chair. I think that information, Chair, we can make available because we prepare it on a monthly basis because it's one of the presidential in the cabinet that we report on a monthly basis. We are, as we speak today, we are more than 98% being our creditors on time. They are still those creditors whom are not paying on time, either due to the fact that there is a problem of the dispute that we have with the creditor, or either it might have been a lack from our officials sometimes, but we are putting stringent eyes on making sure that we comply with this the requirement of government and treasury. All of us reporting, we are reporting because normally AG, when they give the management letter, they also do assessment of our targets to say, have you moved from the target we were at? So the 89 is what we used to have. Now we're at 24. So we are showing the chairperson that we are progressing well. But the question is, how much we can give you that information based on how many that of all the customers, suppliers, how many have you paid? What is the value of that amount? We can provide that. We do have that information.
The service?
Yeah. Chairperson, I think on the issue of the overdraft, our overdraft, as I said, we are an entity within, we are a component of the department, meaning that our CEO is the DG. Then you have the DDG and the RI, then you've got myself, the CFO, then you've got the rest of the DDGs reporting to the DG. So, but then we are using different accounting systems to report.
No, that's fine. I want to give the DG.
Yeah, that means they are not an entity. It's a program within the department. If you say it's an entity, I thought it's an independent entity which who does things on their own and all that. And okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm intimidated for this thing.
No, I'm agreeing with you that yes, they are not outside the department. They are part of the department. Yes. Right. So, at the end of the day, the buck stops with the DG. I'll revert back to you to talk to, I think what we have done was to pick up on all the issues. Because having dealt with the department, it's obvious that the challenges of the entity will not be unidentical to those of the department, even though they may come in different shades of gray, but more or less the same issues. TG?
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members. I want to add a little bit to the water trading entity deals largely with the revenue. So it's not a surprise that the AD will focus on issues around revenue management for the water trading entity. And the finding, as it is,
relates a large part of our revenue, not all of it, but a large part of it, is in relation to a water license fee. And the root cause of not being able to provide the AG with assurance around our income was because of what the CFO says, where the last part, the license is issued by the DG. So the end of that application is when I append my signature to it. But what has happened for us to build the licensee is that it must be uplifted in warmth. That is the part where there has been lapses. And I said, Chair, in my, I'll respond and augment in terms of also how we have now closed that gap. The DG for regulation and policy, and you'll see, is the DDG charged with the processing of the application. But what we all said is, once I signed, he is also charged with ensuring immediately that there's an upliftment. Because what's happened in the past is that that license, because the applicant comes in through the regional office. Once I sign it, it devolves back to the regional office. And then there's control loss in terms of the upliftment it wants. So he closed that gap and said, no, by the time I sign, goes back to the DG's office, he must ensure in that office, even before the regional head is advised of the outcome of the application, that the successful license is being uplifted. To speak about the historical issues, where he says, the CEO says there are about 700 licenses that were found not to have been uplifted. These were some of very old licenses. What is now done is, we have looked for the information because you must. It's not just about somebody saying this license was awarded. It's for us to have the actual documentation. So for the year, we've been busy finding the back documentation for it. We are still optimistic that we are going to be able to clear the 700 of it. Some of it is already there, but there would be one or two documents absent out of the full file. And we still, as I said, we are still of the view that we'll be able to put before the AG that full 700 odd that they indicated was outstanding and would be uplifted. The issue around the penalties for those that are now not been billed and what would be the penalty of them, that was the issue that the CFO was trying to address, and he said, he didn't get, because it's huge bills, and the member is right. We are also like that. If you've not received a bill for a while, suddenly there's a bill of a few hundred thousand or 2,000, we query it ad nauseum because we feel that we are waiting for a bill and we want a bill. It's to explain. And the licensees are big license water users. We're not talking, we get our bills as the normal citizenry from our municipality. These are for example, irrigation from farmers and so on, industry. That would apply for a license, a water license. So the bills would out of the nature be quite huge. And so he's going on a roadshow to explain to them how we've arrived at the bill so that there are no disputes. But also that paper trail must be put before the AG so that the AG understand what process did we follow and ultimately when we settled with the user, how did we arrive at that amount. So that also clear. And that will raise or deal with the issue chair with regards to the statements that we were able to put forward to the AG, and I believe we'll be able to put a much more accurate figure in terms of it. These were old and outstanding licenses, but the new license, as I said, that is signed, are nearly immediately uplifted. So we shouldn't have, for this financial year, at least, any of those lapses with regards to the uploadment of licenses. Just to speak to the issue of predetermined objectives, the Auditor General was unhappy on the use of percentages when it comes to monitoring of infrastructure and the way that we crafted our targets. It was easy for them to verify the accuracy of what was planned and subsequently reported. So we have changed that. And let me also say for the entire department, as far as the APP is concerned, and our predetermined objectives, we put it through a funnel. So we have done a quality check on it with a view that they comply with the SMART principle. So I'm also optimistic that at least they would have been made significant strides in terms of not having a finding that our predetermined objectives don't subscribe to the SMART rule. So we've also cleaned that up. What we've done in addition is we've removed obviously all references to percentages for planning and subsequent reporting. But project managers are now reporting on a monthly basis in terms of the progress that they are making. Also with the view that from the adjustment appropriation process, when we are allowed to make changes to our target for good reason, in other words, the conditions in the department have changed so significantly, or there's been an event that doesn't allow you to meet your target, that you're able to adjust it, and that minister is able to then sign off on it once we've made a case for that. So on a monthly basis, we are able to check whether you're on track. If you're not, you must give us good reason as to why not. As well as we've established a monitoring and evaluation unit that wasn't in the department. So in terms of actual monitoring and reporting, we have put capacity and to verify the accuracy of the information as per the finding of the AG, where they've indicated our portfolio of evidence is lacking. So all on a monthly basis, if you say you have, for example, you have 30% of a particular dam wall, you must provide us with evidence. That evidence will be in the form of a report from the engineer that attests to the fact that you are, in fact, at 30%. So that's how we verify, and so the file will be intact and will be accumulating over the years. The difficulty that I have found in my experience is that you wake up at the end of the year, and then you scuttle around for portfolio of evidence and so on. So to do it on a monthly and then on a quarterly basis makes it easy. And for me, as I said, what is important is that nobody is allowed to tamper with the target at all. And then you are able to report against that target in a meaningful and a much more accurate way. So that would be what I would put before the committee chair. With regards to the investigations that are underway, which is the final matter, I think the issue around procurement and the list of financial misconduct cases and non-compliance when it comes to the issue of declaration, I think it has been dealt with sufficiently, and we'll make the information available to you as well. We are together with legal and with the CFOs, looking at the exposure of the department with regards to cases that are there, because you're also not able to put a quantum to that and to come to a reasonable amount in terms of the contingency liability around the cases that are there. So even in terms of that disclosure note, I believe the AG will be quite happy with our process that we followed, and then to accept the quantum that we will put in our disclosure now. To speak a little bit further on the issue of our audit process and internal audit capacity, let us accept, Chair, that the capacity that is there in the department is wholesale inadequate, and I've indicated earlier when we were talking about the main account that will move with speed to ensure that capacity is there. I also just don't want, if there is some misunderstanding, our audit committee is intact, and our audit committee meets regularly. Even the lapses that are mentioned in the AG's report that says that the financial statements were not put before the committee before submission to the audit general, I can emphatically say that we have our meeting tomorrow with our audit committee, and our annual draft financial statements will be put before the committee with the view that they can advise us and to indicate whether they are comfortable with the statements or not. So those lapses that, as you said, should be logical things that should be in a department 20 years and in a department like this that existed before that should have been in place and not in place, I certainly have moved with speed to correct that those procedural and administrative lapses are being dealt with.
Right. Lastly, Comrade Paul.
Definitely, my splash. Now, accounting official, that doesn't clear my mind. You are talking about historical when you talk about that the revenue for to change, and you think that the auditor general didn't listen properly in how you are explaining. I want to read the line for you of what the auditor general says and explain to me what you mean. The auditor general says the water trading entity did not maintain adequate records to indicate whether the users whom were granted licenses in the current, not historical, in the current
and prior year period were unlawfully using water before their license applications were approved. It's what I would say, that's the general sense. Now, it is not historical. It talks about currently and the last year. I think it's not judging you wrongly. It's advising you correctly about what is the state of things within the department. And I wanted to ask, your leadership. Let's go to 36 and 37. This is inadequate compliance checklist and enforced compliance. He seems not to understand progressive discipline. The auditor general is out of order. You guys are all better. And he doesn't understand, he doesn't have a record of verbatim reports. It means that the auditor general and yourself on these matters are not working in the same way. What do you say to this? Because this is what these concerns are. And on record in Parliament, the institution reports too. Does there have two reflections? They don't know about him anyway. Do you think, having listened to the DDG, that the system of having compliance management in the Maya doing it is that sufficient? Or the auditor general who reports to us also, equally like you, say these systems are not in place. But I for one, really, if it's verbatim, it means my two children. There's no law. I talk to my children verbatim and say, baby, don't do it again. And then I know that my mother wouldn't come back. So it's a small matter. But because here there's parliament and you are counting, explain to me how does verbatim make it possible for us to get a record of what has happened between yourself and your management. It's very much important for us because the inadequacies that are within this report clearly says that there's no institution here, no department. You see, that's the biggest problem for us. And for us also, the fish cash is going. You see, the main people and those people that are getting paid who are getting verbatim reports, I mean, one is, and the auditor general is not able to account to that. It means that somebody is not accountable. What do you think that that system that they're applying and what the auditor general is saying, is it correct? Will it help this institution, will it help society to understand what they're doing?
Right. Can we close it at this point, Comrade? I want to give the TG to respond, and okay, then we can round off. Yes, TG.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, there's no contradiction between myself and the Auditor General with regards to the finding. I thought the question that was asked originally is, after the Auditor General's report, what were the consequences? Was there consequence management? My response was that indeed there was, and that they were issued with, when it came to the amendment of the performance. Remember, there was the 25%. I had issued verbal warnings. Where there was financial management, and I want to make it clear, where there have been acts of financial mismanagement, those cases have been referred. I don't want to leave the committee with a sense that all transgressions have been dealt with by way of a verbal warning. Of course, I use the word progressive discipline. Now, it doesn't mean that you always start with a verbal warning. Because what was the transgression must be measured with the response of discipline. When somebody has financially transgressed, we immediately issue. In instances where it's warranted, a suspension, and then there's a disciplinary process, and if need be, dismissal. But where there's, for example, issues of not understanding a process, then you issue the verbal and you put a process in place. If the person still doesn't comply, then there is the progression to the next level of written warnings, disciplinary, and so on. I just think it's important that I put to the committee that there are cases, and we'll make them available by way of the list, for financial misconduct cases. It wasn't discipline. It went to higher and much more serious levels of discipline and dismissal as well. And where has been dismissal? I'm happy to put them before the committee so that the committee appreciates this, that we are dealing with the issue.
Okay, just a minute, DG.
DG, you see, you are outlining one process, and the DDG was talking about another process. Whether the accounting office at the end of the day, you need to tell us how does that one work? Because you talk about educating people and running workshops, and in your explanation, you are not providing that within your progressive discipline. Now, that's why I get a little bit of a confusion in my head. That how do you work? Because the back starts with you, not with him. He talks politics. You could be able to give this something more sensible. What do you mean exactly by combining the two processes? Or are you working parallel with the type of processes that's talking about? That's for my clarification.
All right. Are we close?
Yep. Thank you, Che. No, Che, I don't think I'm contradicting the DDG either. The DDG, as you indicated, gave a concept of progressive discipline. When I did, I issued the verbal warning to the DDG. The chair asked, and then? I said, then I workshops then. He's making exactly the same kind of reference, where somebody has a lapse in terms of performance. You are bound as a person to whom that person reports to put in place measures to educate and to correct. That is in terms of the process. So you do that, you work, you say, don't do that, and these are the requirements for performance management and for performance information. If they still transgress after, because then they can go back, and if you look at disciplinary issues, if they take you a review, the presiding officer will say, once you found out the person has this weakness, what did you do as a supervisor? Then I say, I worshiped them. Show me how you did that. I take out a minute of the top man. I say, here is a minute that indicates I workshopped them in terms of how to deal with amendments to the APPs. Then they say, fine, you've dealt with that. So you can't hold that against the teacher or your supervisor. That's exactly what you're saying in terms of dealing with issues, whether it's non-performance or poor performance. Then if it's not, they go on to hire and discipline, and if needs be, you then separate the person from the organization, which is a useful metaphor, you fire them. That's really, you know, it's not a contradiction, Chair, in terms of what we are saying. The matter that member raises around Section 37 of the finding, which speaks to inadequate compliance checklists when it comes to the enforcement of applicable laws and regulations. There's a particular checklist that's attached to each piece of the compliance. And what literally the AG does is use that, or we should be doing, is use the checklist to say, give an example, if there is non-compliance with procurement, there should be a checklist that says to the D-Bank and all others involved, did they do the following issues? Was the following submitted? As an example, is there a company document that is current, indicating all directors there? Is there a tax clearance certificate that is original attached? Those will be checklists that they are referring to in terms of requirements and compliance for regulatory and other legislative requirements in the department. And that's what they indicate was lacking. In procurement, we have now put that turnaround, and I suppose action documents, yes, that you've asked for, will indicate exactly, blow by blow, in terms of all of these findings, what have we done? What is the root cause? And what have we done to mitigate that root cause or that funding with the view that the funding is not returned? So each one of these we can thank for you in that action list, Chair.
Let's go to our conclusion. Yes, complete. Small. Okay.
Yes, I think we've been having a problem with relatives dealing business doing business with government, relatives of employees of government. And I think you are starting, the DDG that one was starting to talk about it. You know, we make laws, but implementation on the ground is actually impossible or difficult to deal with. I just wanted to check, I mean, I'm a Kuno, I can have a relative, my mother is from Jani and all that. We have so many different settings. How do you exactly... No, because they've already started the process. That's what they're reporting on earlier on. How do you actually
gave that duty, that, you know, you gave that to your relatives, especially with all our complications as the Rainbow Nation.
Jane, the truth of the matter would be with great difficulty. It's almost impossible because of the associations, by association, and the declaration is the requirement for SMA. But for junior members below level 12, it's not a requirement to actually declare that you are. But if we do find that, of course, there's a public service regulation that says you are not allowed to do business with government or a government entity at all. But it's with great difficulty because, as you say, the earnings change and it's by removal, twice removed from you as your family. So that's the direct answer.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think DG and the officials of the department, maybe let us end it here. Thank you very much for having been here and responded to all the complex questions that comrades threw at you. And just to say that well, number one, it is your plan to deal with the challenges that you are sending to us, as well as the list of the employees who are doing business with the entity or doing remunerative work outside, or families are doing business with the entity, as well as the department. Let us have that list. And I hope you can talk to the Auditor General to share with you the tools that they use, because they come into your department for a couple of months and they're able to pick these things up. So there has to be a way in which these things are done. Secondly, DG Home, both the department and the entity, irregular expenditure. I see there is a list there, I think, on the entity in terms of what happened, what was the amount. If we can get a list that tells what we have in the box, but which goes further and say, where are we? We are investigated, what have we found? Who was responsible? And what measures have been taken? For both irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we can get those lists. The investigations, where are we, how many are these, what do they entail, if they are completed, what has happened to the recommendations, if they recommend certain actions be taken, who are the people against whom actions should be taken, what have they done.
I hope to answer a person which has been the question they've been running away from.
Yeah.
The lawsuits. In the department there's lawsuits, even this entity, there are lawsuits, they are counter to me. I don't get the detail.
No, that's fine. That was going to be my last point on litigation. If we could know who is suing the entity, what for, and I'm sure if the money is worth how much. We are also taking other reports. Who are we taking to court and why? We can get those lists. They will assist us. I think For us, and I'm sure we'll have the time in August, September, somewhere there, when we do our review, to say what have been the lessons for the last 12 months, and how do we sharpen our focus. Because if you go to the river flows. So that the task of this person is to see among these officials sitting here who has the responsibility to ensure that this thing is done. And then you say Miss Martin. And she was able to say to us, why is she sitting there when she can't do her job? And for you to tell us what have you done about her not doing a job for which she's getting paid. Simple as all that. Because when we say things that have not happened in the department, it means someone here has not done his or responsibility. It might happen that it's somebody junior down there, but the supervisor of that person. So it has to be individual accountability and responsibility. But maybe that's more for us, and because you are here before us. It's more us who must be a little more sharper and more focused. But like I said, TG, push up the level of consciousness and responsibility. I think that would be, for me, the biggest achievement. Because these departments have been in existence, I'll say, for the last 21 years, I think, past, or whatever it was. It can't be that every second year it's like starting from scratch. Like I said, sometimes this thing has nothing to do with you as an accounting officer. They have more to do with politics. And there's nothing that you people can do when you have all this kind of stuff. So, I think let's have to explain, have a look at it as a comment.